Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Mark Levine reporting live from just across the river from Washington, D.C., in my hometown of Alexandria, Virginia. Lots in the news today. Today, of course, is the 75th anniversary of D-Day, when brave soldiers, brave American, Canadian, British soldiers invaded Nazi-occupied France to save the world. Really? Also, other things in the news, it's June, it's Gay Pride Month. We also have had a lot of interesting negative bills on abortion rights going on, Alabama and Georgia. And of course, here in Virginia, we're still reeling, really, the nation is still reeling from the gun massacre in Virginia Beach. You might think that all these separate news items are very different things. I actually think they have something in common. It all has to do with a conservative buzzword, but one that I really think is what America is all about. And that word is freedom. So D-Day, guns, gay rights, abortion rights, what does that all have to do with freedom? How do we philosophically unpack what's going on in the world and try to make sense of it all? Well, let me start with D-Day. Today, of course, is the 75th anniversary of hundreds of thousands of brave American, British, Canadian soldiers, many 18, 19, 20, 22 years old, giving their lives, and the majority did give their lives on this day, in attacking what... What was often considered almost an impossible attack, and that is to take the cliffs of Normandy against machine gun fire. And these men were fighting for freedom. It's interesting, obviously, other than Pearl Harbor, the United States hadn't really been personally attacked. Pearl Harbor, in fact, in Hawaii wasn't even a state in 1941, December 7th. It was a territory of the United States. And yet, Americans in massive numbers were willing to fight and die so that others could be free. World War II was a very bloody war. After the Civil War, it's the bloodiest war in American history. Of course, while we lost 100,000 or so lives, of course, there were millions, tens of millions lost in Europe. But what were those men and women, mostly men, fighting for? What does freedom mean? And how does it come around for all of our needs today? How are we to philosophically think about this? When I hear, there's a joke. Many of you know I serve in the Virginia House of Delegates. I actually got the uniform on today, complete with my button, because I'm in between functions that I do as a state legislator. So I'm all in complete garb today. There's a joke we do in Virginia, in the House of Delegates. And every time we Democrats are talking about Republicans unable to explain why they support a bill or oppose a bill, we say, so how could you possibly oppose that bill? And they say, freedom. And freedom is supposed to be this one-word answer for all. Freedom, liberty. And it's a joke because it's overused, because people aren't thinking about what it really means to be free. So that's what I want to explore this hour. What does it really mean to be free? One of the best ways, I think, to think about this thing is philosophically. And it has to do with well, we can go back to Justice Brandeis, you can go back to philosophers, this idea that we should live and let live. That part of freedom means being able to do everything you can do up until it starts to take away from someone else's freedom. And then you're not free to do that, because then that person is no longer free. It may be a silly example, but it's a very clear one to me. It makes me think all the time. The example is, I can flail my arms as much as I want. I can do crazy dances. I can do wild kicks. But my freedom to flail my arms and do crazy kicks ends where your face begins. And that kind of makes sense, right? I may dance. I may look foolish. I have a right to look foolish. I have a right to do silly things. But not if they harm you. Because you are no longer free if I'm kicking you in the face. That seems like a pretty simple axiom, really. And to me, it's a basic political philosophical axiom that whenever I'm unsure about a piece of legislation, I think about that, and I find it strangely clarifying in a lot of situations. Another way to look at it is that you should be free to have any shield you want, but not free to have a sword. This comes up in religious rights all the time. What's religious freedom? Well, conservatives argue religious freedom is the right to persecute gay people. The religious freedom is a man saying, I won't serve gay people. I won't marry them. I won't allow them to have equal rights. And that's my religious belief, and how dare you attack my religion? If my religion's intolerant, I have a right to be intolerant. Well, you do have a right to be intolerant, so long as that intolerance doesn't harm anybody else. So, you can preach intolerance, but you can't practice it. Right? You can say, I hate gay people, but you can't discriminate against gay people. You can't deny them services. You may remember, of course, before the Civil Rights Movement, we had African Americans who sometimes had to drive hundreds of miles just to find a restaurant that would serve them, a hotel that would serve them. And that's because of prejudice. Well, those other people weren't just practicing, they weren't just believing their racist views, they were actually practicing them. So it comes up in the case of religious freedom very clearly. You want to wear a cross? Fine, you're not harming anyone. You want to keep kosher, eat certain foods like halal or kosher, or be a vegan or a vegetarian? That's fine. You want to worship the flying spaghetti monster and teach everyone how the flying spaghetti monster is God? Go for it. Don't want to believe in God at all? Just fine. Even if you want to go to a church that discriminates, as long as you can voluntarily join that church that, say, won't marry Catholics and Jews, or won't marry gay couples, or even won't marry black and white couples. As odious as we think that is, if you want to go to the church of racism, you can go to that church because you can voluntarily enter and you can voluntarily leave. But if you want to be a court clerk like Kim Davis in Kentucky, and you want to say, I'm not going to follow the law, I'm not going to marry gay couples, you can't do that. You're not using your religion as a shield to protect you, you're using it as a sword to protect others. Can you pray 5 times a day to Mecca? Of course you can, and we should help you make sure that you are able to do that. Should you be able to force the person working for you to pray 5 days to Mecca? No. No. Should you be able to pray before a meal? Absolutely. Should you be able to require someone to pray before a meal before they get food, the way the Salvation Army has sometimes done? No. No. Use religion as a shield, not a sword. You should practice your religion just like I flail my arms around, up until it affects and harms someone else. Because the only way to give religious freedom to everyone in the United States is to make sure our freedom exists up until it harms someone else. The moment you allow your religion to harm someone else, that person is no longer free. People say, well, you know, the First Amendment to the Constitution, right? It has a contradiction in it, right? It says that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That's a contradiction. How can you not prohibit free exercise and prohibit an establishment of religion? Easy. You allow as much religion as people practice until the moment they harm someone else's religious freedom. I actually think it's a clear, bright line test, and one that gets confused all the time by conservatives saying, stop attacking my religion. All I want to do is persecute gay people. You can't do that, even if it's your religion, because it harms others. If your religion is don't eat a certain food, great. If religion is celebrate a certain holiday, fine. If your religion is catch a virgin and against her will throw her into a volcano to appease the angry gods, you can't do that. You might like to do that, but it would harm the religious freedom of the person you're throwing into the lava pit. Now, if your religion says throw a rock in the lava pit, and there's no evidence that throwing a rock into a lava pit is more likely to cause the rock to explode and rain down on others, throw your rocks in your lava pit. Dump your entrails into the sea. Sacrifice your television to the gods. I don't care what you do as long as you don't harm someone else. And there may be environmental problems there. But again, the environment. Another great case, right? The environment is a case of what can you do in the environment? Well, you can do what you want so long as you don't pollute it for others, right? I want to go and have a picnic. I want to do a Celtic dance celebrating nature. Fine. Frankly, I don't care if you're naked. If you're, you know, I mean, you're not in public, that could offend others. But you want to do that? Fine. I don't care. Freedom. Freedom. But the moment you're, we could talk, some of this gets tough around paternalism. Should someone be allowed to drink poisoned water that they know is poisoned? That's a tougher question. But should you be allowed to poison someone else's water? Absolutely not. You can't poison someone else's water. You can't dump sludge into the rivers or pollute the air because other people breathe that. You're attacking their freedom. Freedom means free to do whatever you want so long as you don't harm others. Now, how does that then get put into decisions around guns or abortion? I've talked a little bit how it works with gay rights or religious freedom. Aren't guns and abortion tougher cases? After all, gun is freedom. Should I be free to just go around and shoot trees and have as much power weapon as I want to? On abortion, I might talk about a woman's freedom over her own body, but what about the freedom of the fetus? These may seem like more difficult questions. I don't think they are. I want to examine and unpack exactly how I fit gun rights and abortion rights into this paradigm of freedom when we come back. If you want to call in and leave a message, just do so. 888-48-MARK, 888-488-6275. Right back, right after this.
French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. So I've laid out an argument, but one that really... It's amazing how many questions you can fit into this relatively simple argument of what freedom means, right? Liberal freedom is the right to do whatever you want so long as you're not harming someone else. Conservative freedom generally is the right to control others' lives, which might make you feel free but doesn't make them very free, right? Their whole idea of freedom is the ability to restrict others' freedom, but that doesn't sound very free to me at all. If we look at drug laws, for example, a liberal would say You want to get high as a kite? Don't harm your children. Don't come work for me because I'm not going to hire you stoned. So don't harm others. And with addiction, don't harm yourself in a way that you can't get out of it, because you might be harming your future self. Nicotine, great example, right? If you smoke cigarettes, you may want to do that now, but not want to do it a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. But nicotine is so addictive that if you start smoking now, you may well regret that decision and be unable to back out of it. So should we have restrictions on nicotine for children? I think we should. Should we be able to regulate drugs? I think we should. Marijuana is less addictive. Again, don't come work for me, but I'm not going to have criminal law stopping you from freedom. Freedom to make your own decisions, even stupid ones, so long as they don't harm others or harm yourself in some very stringent way in the long run. And I admit that latter one is sort of a refinement of the rule. But what about guns? How do we look at freedom with regard to guns? You could say, you have the right to shoot any bullet you like so long as it doesn't hit me. Kind of like me flailing my arms, right? I have to stop at your face. You shoot your bullet, it has to stop at my face. The problem is gun bullets are not designed to stop at other people's faces. They're designed to kill. That's what they do. So a gun is not a shield. A gun is more like a sword. It's actually far more dangerous than a sword. Sometimes I think conservatives think of guns as shields. They say, I need a gun to defend myself. I need a gun because someone could start shooting at me. Ignoring the fact that if we were to get a lot of guns out of our society, it's less likely you'd be shot at, right? You're not going to be shot at in Japan, so you don't need a gun to defend yourself in Japan. Right? And if we were to remove guns from society in a major way, you wouldn't have to need a gun for self-defense. Even in the UK, most police carry those batons. They don't even need guns there. So the idea that we need guns because others have guns is circular argument, because we could take away those guns. But a gun is not a shield. What's a shield? Well, a bulletproof vest is a shield. That's something that stops guns. And generally, I think if people have a reason to have a bulletproof vest, they should. But it's certainly not perfect. People can be shot in the face. And more importantly, a gun doesn't, unless someone shoots you in your gun, a gun does not protect you at all. I talk to conservatives all the time. They have this magical notion that if they have a gun, they can't be shot. That's ridiculous. Remember that a shooter always has the element of surprise. You're sitting in a theater, popcorn in one hand, a soda in the other. It's dark, and the killer can kill you before you even find your gun. So guns are not a shield, they're a sword. We'll get back to guns and abortion, a tougher issue, when I come back. You want to call in? 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Back after this.
Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about freedom and D-Day. This is, of course, the 75th anniversary of D-Day, and talking about, well, Virginia Beach, where 12 public servants, actually 11 public servants and a contractor who was getting his license, were gunned down just a few days ago for no reason at all. And when we talk about what happened, most conservatives shrug their shoulders, say there's nothing we can do. Getting murdered is just part of living in a modern society. 30,000+ people gunned down every year. That's just modern life. Yeah, more are gunned down each year than killed by cars, but we have cars. Why can't we have murder victims? They're sad. They have thoughts and prayers. But nothing you can do. There's always going to be dangerous people. That part's true. Every society on the planet has dangerous people, unstable people, evil people. Every society on the planet has people who want to kill others. But our murder rate is much higher than other countries. Our level of gun violence is astronomical compared to others. The UK has about 8 gun crimes a year. Japan, about 1. We have about 5,000 murders, about 5,000 accidents, and another 20-plus thousand suicides, all with a gun. So conservatives shrug their shoulders because they consider the loss of innocent human life to be an acceptable cost. And I get that. Most of us think that's true with cars, right? We want safety, we want seatbelts, but we understand that in the price of being allowed to have this wonderful vehicle to get you from place to place means some people are going to die. That's what it means. The question is whether the enjoyment you feel from shooting a gun is more important than innocent people's lives. Republicans think it is. Democrats think it's not. So why do people have guns in the first place? Not military, not police. It's their role to keep order. Why does the ordinary civilian need a gun? Well, some use it to hunt. Hunting is an old American tradition, hundreds of years old. But most hunting, you don't need a handgun. You can use a rifle. You don't need a semi-automatic rifle. It could be one where you shoot and cock it again and shoot again. You don't need extended magazine clips, high-capacity magazine clips. You shoot 10 or 12 in your clip. And it's my view that if you shot at a deer 12 times and the deer doesn't get hit, I think that deer gets a free walk home. I mean, hunting's supposed to be a sport. It's not supposed to be enjoyable to shoot fish in a barrel. If you can't hit your shot after 12 times, let the creature go. Try again. Game over, you lose. Most gun owners tell me that they can change a magazine clip in between 1 and 5 seconds. Someone once told me they could do it in a second, second and a half. I've had others tell me 3 to 4 seconds, some as long as 5. We'll average it out 3 seconds. 3 seconds. 3 seconds of inconvenience if we were to ban clips larger than 10 or 12 bullets. If we ban clips larger than 12 bullets, right? 3 seconds. And gun owners don't want to give up that 3 seconds. I take it back. Responsible gun owners have no problem with it. Irresponsible gun owners, people I call gun nuts. Gun nuts don't want to take those 3 seconds. 3 seconds. Now, I don't know about you, but I will sit at traffic lights for 30 seconds. 10 times. A gun enthusiast could go through 10 clips in those 30 seconds. But because they don't want to wait 3 seconds, untold numbers of people are going to be murdered. I think that's really selfish. You see, when a killer changes a gun clip, that matters. Ordinary hunter, 3 seconds. But when a killer wants to change a gun clip, that is the critical moment when you can attack. It happened in Tucson, Arizona, when Congresswoman Gabby Giffords was shot. It happened in a Waffle House in Nashville, Tennessee, when a brave man jumped out of the bathroom just as the killer was changing his clip. The citizen knew that they would otherwise die, and they jumped on him and grabbed that hot clip, that hot gun away, and saved dozens of lives. All because the person ran out of bullets. So if you're not a mass murderer, it's 3 seconds of your time. If you are, it's the difference between life and death. What is the argument against extended clips? I don't know one. The argument for high-capacity magazines. In Colorado, the killer, the Aurora killer, who thought he was in a Batman movie, He didn't have a clip of 12 bullets. He had a 100-bullet drum. 100 bullets! Frankly, he could do more damage with his semi-automatic assault weapon than he could with an automatic machine gun. Because the machine gun runs out of bullets much more quickly. Semi-automatic, he can go kill this person, murder that person, shoot that person in cold blood, sees them still moving, shoot again. Never has to reload. Let's all thank God that that 100-bullet drum malfunctioned after only 70 bullets. Because that means he only shot 70 times. And not 100 times. Thank God it malfunctioned. These are military weapons. Yes, I understand how 3 seconds is too short if you're in a trench. If you're fighting on D-Day, shooting at German, at Nazis, trying to kill you. But in a theater in Colorado, you don't need a 100-bullet drum. You don't need it. You don't need it to hunt. You don't need it for self-defense. If 101 people are coming to capture you, you're the bad guy. You're not the good guy. And don't give me this, oh, I need my gun because we may have to take over the government. I understand the argument. It comes from Lexington and Concord. It comes from a time when the British did not give us representation. But if you don't like our government now, you want to change it? Vote. Register others to vote. Support laws to make voting easier. Take people to court if they don't let you vote. Because if you try to overthrow the government, I'm sorry, I don't care how many drums of bullets you have, they got tanks. And if you have tanks, they've got planes. If you've got planes, they have nuclear weapons. You can't stop the American government now. It's not like the days of the muskets. Times have changed since Lexington and Concord. And that means that the Second Amendment has changed as well. Not the text. I'm fine with the text. But people are trying to give it meaning it just wasn't meant to have. It's very important, all these, because sometimes when people defend, you know, they're like, well, we can't get rid of guns. Everyone has individual right to guns, right of people to keep and bear arms, Second Amendment. They haven't read the Second Amendment. Second Amendment clearly says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. If you want people serving in a militia regulated by the state, that's okay. And the purpose of this really was to protect the states from the federal government. Ironically, you could argue that the Second Amendment was designed to help the states who seceded in the Civil War. Because they all had state-run militias, and they fought the federal government. Maybe that's what the Second Amendment was about. But even when that happened, even when states turned against the federal government, they lost the Civil War in the greatest loss of life ever. More people died in the Civil War than all wars in American history put together. So the Second Amendment seems to be saying that states can have their own militias, and the federal government can't stop them. Remember, the Constitution was not about limiting the states. That didn't come until the 14th Amendment with the Equal Protection Clause after the Civil War. It was about limiting the federal government. So no way the Second Amendment could be used to get rid of a state law. Doesn't make sense. It's all about protecting the states and protecting the state's right to well-regulated militias. Would someone who wants to enter a theater and murder everyone in it be allowed in a well-regulated militia? No. Were they ordered by a well-regulated militia to do that? No. Did some governor of some state, did the governor of Virginia order the man in Virginia Beach to start shooting his colleagues? Absolutely not. He wasn't part of a well-regulated militia. He has no right to bear arms. None. No constitutional right. Now, if states want to give him rights or don't want to give him rights, that's up to the states. Now, I know what you're going to say, Mark. Supreme Court disagrees with you. Well, it is true that five justices of the Supreme Court for the last 11 years have held that there is some individual right in the Constitution, because they say we don't read the first half of the Second Amendment. We ignore that part. We took an oath to uphold the Constitution, but when we took our oath, we said we will promise to obey the Constitution except the parts we don't like. That's their oath. But that's not the right oath. The only proper oath for a Supreme Court justice is to uphold all of the Constitution, including the militia clause. And in fact, for more than 200 years, the United States Supreme Court said, yep, Second Amendment, that's the right to protect a well-regulated militia. But because Bush v. Gore happened, because the United States Supreme Court disobeyed the American people and installed a president, a coup d'etat, which, by the way, shouldn't that have caused a violent uprising? It was a coup d'etat. And because of that, five justices, Justice Scalia, came in and said, screw the Constitution. We don't care about the Constitution. We want lots of people to have guns. So we're going to pretend there's some individual right, which ain't in here. If we get one more justice with the right president, we can overturn Heller and say that these weapons of war should be regulated like weapons of war. But how does all this relate to freedom? My freedom ends where your freedom begins. I can't even throw my fist to hit you. So why do I have the right to shoot a bullet to hit you? Why do I have a right to play with this toy that can kill you? What other toys can you play with that kill others? I can't think of many. And let's face it, for most gun enthusiasts, it's a toy. It's not about self-defense. For a few people, it's about hunting, but the really, the military assault weapons, AR-15, they're not about hunting. You don't hunt with those. And it's not about self-defense, right? How many of us really need a gun for self-defense? I mean, maybe politicians do. But if someone's out to kill you, maybe you should call the police. They have a lot more training than you do. So we're going to have a special session in Virginia this summer, probably in the next couple weeks or so. And one of the first things I'm going to do is work to have universal background checks so that criminals and dangerous people don't have easy access to guns. And number two, ban extended clips. Ban high-capacity magazines. Drums are for bands or for the military. They're not for a theater. We come back, I'm going to take some of your calls and then move on and talk about abortion, because I don't run away from tough issues. Give a call if you like, 888-48-MARK, 888-488-6275, right back after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about freedom and how it applies to gun rights, to gay rights, to religious freedom. And if I have time, I'm going to even get to abortion. But first, I can't skip Michael from the Bronx. It is Old Faithful. It is his birthday. I didn't remember that he was born on D-Day. Michael, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, and oh boy, here we go again with the D-Day jokes.
Well, but, you're born on it, so you're probably used to it.
Yeah, but my heart goes out to all those that served.
Thank you.
But if you allow me to help bridge this thing between the guns and abortion, the funny thing is with the guns, we constantly hear from from the right wingers, especially the whites, that with the gun massacres and the shooter is white, it's always a case of mental illness. The person is a nut, and they want to trivialize mental illness just to find an excuse for those on their
less
side.
Than 5% of mass murders, fewer than 5% are people who are mentally ill. I mean, the vast majority simply aren't.
And then those that are of color or just merely accused, then they're branded as criminals or even terrorists. So I long ago said it's not the nature of the crime, but rather who the accused is and how the approach is met. And then those.
And I would go further and say it's ready access to guns, because there's always going to be people who want to do harm to others. I mean, that's humanity. We've existed on this planet 100,000 years or so, and in all that time, humans have harmed other humans. The problem is they can do it now in a much easier way, a much more severe, quicker way.
And then you know how this is connected to abortion. But again, the same hypocritical right-wingers who want to keep talking about pro-life this and pro-life that. You cannot call yourselves pro-life if you're always favoring the deadly tools that kill others, which includes killing unborn babies. And then even when you bring the babies into the world, they're still being shot dead, as you've seen in these massacres that's going on in schools, in movie theaters. And then add to that part, Mark, that the right-wing males who want to have this all these anti-abortion laws, they sure as hell are the first to be messing around with other women, impregnating them, and then want to force them to an abortion, but then sure as hell get so upset when the woman says, my body, my choice, I'm seeing this baby and having it. You know, the guys want the women to get rid of the evidence of infidelity, that being the soon-to-be-born baby.
I appreciate your call, Michael, and you have a happy birthday. Let me just quickly move on to the, because I only got a couple of minutes left, to the question of abortion. Is it a question of freedom? Obviously, I think it is. Conservatives will tell you that abortion is all about the fetus, all about the embryo, all about the sperm and the egg coming together. That's what we have to sacrifice for. They ignore the fact that every day, billions of eggs go unused, and trillions of sperm go unused. It's very easy to create life. A life is not made up of an egg and a sperm. It's not true. I don't care how many people tell it to you, it's not true. Ask them if they can make a life from an egg and a sperm, and they'll say, sure, and you'll say, nope. In order to create a life, you need an egg and a sperm and a woman. We cannot create babies matrix style. We cannot grow them in pods. Even test tube babies, they combine the egg and the sperm, but they must implant it in a woman. And because a woman is an essential part of birth, the question is not, do we protect these cells implanted in the mother? The question is, do we protect the mother? If you respect life, you have to respect the life of the mother. Alabama has a law right now that says if you want to have a baby with a certain woman, you just rape her, and she's required by law to have your child. That law, Alabama's law, denies humanity and human agency to women. It's all about using a woman as a baby-making vehicle rather than a person with her own freedom to do what she wants with her own body. So when it comes to abortion, it's the same rule as anyone else. Can you ban it without harming anyone? Well, if the woman agrees to have a baby, you're not harming anyone. But when a woman says, I don't want to use my body in this way, well, that's where the freedom of the government to restrict her reproductive rights ends. It's really not that hard an argument to make. And honestly, when conservatives actually start caring for children with health care and education and food and shelter, if they do that, fewer women will choose to have abortions in the first place. Let's all be pro-life about the lives that exist right here, right now. It's Mark Levine signing off.